best year that we've ever had. Amen. Everybody have an outline this morning. Everybody have one. Who does not have an outline? Everybody got one? There you go. Everybody got a pen? She got one right there. A pen. There's a bunch of pens back here. Dinah, grab some. Everybody that needs a pen, lift your hand. Oh, you got one now? Everybody got one? Okay, Chelsea, you got one. Okay. Olga, I think I cheated and gave you the one with the answers. I didn't? Oh, I guess you have to write now. I left one there for you, but that's all right. Oh, here we go. Oh, here's yours. No, anybody can't look on hers now. All right. Everybody has one. Praise God. You know, I want to do something a little different. You know, we talk about the Christmas story. I want to talk about living the Christmas story. Amen? In the new year we're living in. But we know that time is coming close. We know that things are happening faster than we could ever dream or believe. And God is doing some great things. Things are happening. He's pruning. He's surfacing things in our lives, and we have choice to either deal with them or not deal with them. I tell you what, sometimes it's not easy, but he's getting us ready for his coming. He's preparing his bride without spot or wrinkle. I believe that. God is working in great things are happening in the world. We're going to see the greatest revival we've ever seen, the greatest move of God we've ever seen. Exciting times are here for this new year, new beginnings. And we've been saying that for a while, but there's some things coming in the next few months that I really believe that are going to be totally changing things up in our lives. Great things. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to miss what God's doing. I don't want to miss a thing that God is doing. I want to be a part of what God's doing. And my focus has to be on him and not on the distractions of the world, but they have to be on him. So let's get into this. But the title of my message is Staying Connected to Christ in This New Year. And the scripture that I have this morning, people, is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And it says this, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, the Passion Bible says this. It says, in the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith. And this is what I want to declare. Continue your journey of faith in God no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems, no matter what it feels. Continue your journey of faith. And it says this, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Verse 7, your spiritual roots go deeply into his life, as you are continually, everybody say continually, infused with what? Strength. How many need strength today? Amen. All of us could use a good infusion of strength. But there's things that we get strengthened by that we have to do in order to have that strength. It says encouraged in every way, not discouraged, but encouraged in every way, for you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. Now, what is the evidence that manifests in your life that you are rooted and grounded in Christ? Think about that question. What is the evidence? What is the evidence that manifests in your life that you are rooted and grounded in Christ? And you know, the only people that can answer that is me and you. We're the only ones can answer for ourselves. Nobody else can. You know, Christmas growing up, how many remember a lot of the years Christmas growing up and how the tradition was at your house and how things maybe have changed, you moved on, you have your own family, but sometimes we keep the same traditions. I remember growing up, and my dad used to sell Christmas trees sometimes. And people would come and buy the trees, and we could pick out a real nice tree. But he would purchase our tree and bring it home each year. And we'd face the same challenge every family did. That is how to get that tree straight. Now, how many have ever bought a tree and it goes all the way down to the trunk and it's crooked and you got to figure out how to get that thing straight? And so that is one of the things that we try to get that thing to stand straight and to stay green as long as possible. And so because the tree had been cut from its roots, it had no nourishing life source to keep it vibrant. So something had to be done to keep it looking fresh and green. So, like millions of other fathers, my dad purchased a tree, stand for the tree. And how many remember, I still think I have one, how many remember the big red bowl with the green leg sticking out for the tree? And you better have the right size bowl for the tree. Because I remember one time the tree was too big and it just kept falling over, so I had to go get some wood and prop it up with wood on all four sides. I'd have to prop it up with wood because I didn't have the right thing for it. So the red metal bowl and the four green legs connected to a little round metal ring at the top that had four bolts in it. And when you screw the bolts in, sometimes they would miss the tree, and you had to keep moving the tree to push it over and push the bolts into the tree. So you'd have to adjust it so you could get it straight up. And I remember my brother and I would put the tree in there and we'd get it all tight, and all of a sudden, got to do it again. Hold it straight, man. Hold it straight. So you're redoing the whole thing again to get that tree straight. Next, you'd tighten all the four bolts into the tree and get it as straight as you could. Once he decided that the tree was straight in the living room, we would take water and then we'd put it in the bowl. And they'd always have that little stuff you put in there, and they still do, I think. You put it in there, and it's nourishment for the tree, and you'd put it in the water. And then, you know, you'd go back a couple of days, and it was already gone. The water was gone. So you'd have to keep filling the bowl up with water every time. So, our beloved Christmas tree was basically a dead tree that was artificially kept looking beautiful by pouring water into the basin. Because it had been chopped from its roots, it had no natural source to keep it alive. Now, thank God, we as believers are not like Christmas trees. Amen? Which are chopped off at the roots, fragile and artificially kept alive. Write this down. We are rooted in Christ and firmly established in Him. We're told in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. This is what God wants us to be, more rooted and more built up in this coming year than we ever have. Listen, we need to get into God in a greater way than we've ever been into God. Times are close. Things are happening. But God wants to root us and build us stronger than we've ever been before. That is His heart's desire. Unlike chopped off Christmas trees, we believers are rooted in Christ and we're built up in Him. That's what the word says. Now, let's look at the next thing. Write this down. The word rooted means to be firmly rooted or fixed. all right, into a place like a tree that is deeply rooted and therefore immovable. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you moved easy? Do you move easy? Are you mostly moved easy? Or are you getting stronger in that area that maybe you were weak in, but you're not moved as easily anymore because of that relationship with God? So it means to be firmly rooted and fixed into a place like a tree that's rooted and therefore immovable. Next door neighbor, there's a huge tree in his yard that sits right up front. I don't have trees in my yard, but we get all the leaves. Yeah. Yep. But everybody's leaves come into my yard. And Candy and I, gladly, we rake them up. But that tree has so much leaves on it. It's a huge black oak. And the roots must go really deep. Because my front yard, the grass just doesn't grow. No matter how I fertilize it, no matter what I put on it, it just doesn't grow. That thing gives its acorns. I'm going to tell you what. It is like you are walking through the sand desert. Walnuts. Oh, okay. A lot of walnuts. So we got all these acorns, and we just take shovel. It's like taking a shovel and just shoveling them up. But listen to this. The roots go so deep. You think when the wind comes that that tree would move? No. It's immovable because its roots go deeper than the tallness of the tree. Some trees, the roots are so deep, they're taller than the tree itself. And people, this is one of the things that he's talking about, being rooted and built up in Jesus. Now look at Ephesians 3:17. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. When we use our faith and continue using our faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. You know what? I was thinking about that, and get this. Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. So what we see here is that we have our faith, the life of Christ is released in us, the faith. So let me say this. The more you get into God's Word, the more faith that's released in your heart. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let me put it this way. By constantly using the Word of God, filling yourself with the Word of God, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. That's where faith comes from. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and the root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Why is it so hard sometimes that we are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? We're tossed to and fro with the things of the world, the things of that happen, that come against us, that the trials and tests we deal with that come against, and sometimes we allow them to move us side to side. This scripture right here speaks volumes. If we are not consistent in the Word, in faith, the life of Christ cannot be released deep down inside of us. And when Christ is released in us, it says the resting place of His love will become the very source and the root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. It points to what happened to us when we got born again, performed the time we repented, and it's continually result of salvation till Jesus comes. God is working continually in our lives, rooting and deeply rooting us in Himself as we allow the Spirit of God to do this in us. Does that make sense? The next one is the words built up. Let's look at this. Built up depicts something that grows upward and is built on a strong, solid foundation. Let me ask you, where are you building your life this morning? Are you building it on a sure foundation? And Christ is our sure foundation. Hebrews 3:6 says this, and it is we who are now members of this house. If we hold what? We hold fast. And firm to the what? It's not how you start a race, it's how you finish it. Now, don't get me wrong. Sprinting's a different story. How you start is how you finish. But we are in a race of life, and many people are running the race of life. Many people bow out. Many people get sidetracked. Many people don't finish the race. But what I'm saying is this. If we hold fast firm to the end, our joyful and exultant confidence and sense of triumph in our hope in Christ. So the thing is, it's how we finish. How we finish in this new year. How we finish before the Lord comes. How we finish and how we keep going constantly in our life with Christ. Just like a tree's root structure that holds a tree firmly, it's a place and provides the tree with constant stream of nourishment. Today, people purchase artificial trees. How many got artificial tree, Christmas tree? I got to lift my hand. I'm sorry. We used to buy trees, and then we went to the artificial tree. It's so much easier. You take it out of the box. It's all crinkled up. You put it together, and you fix it up. Candy decorates that tree, and I'll tell you what. I watched her, and she's meticulous, you know, putting all the stuff in its perfect place, and I'm looking at this. Now, to me, I don't really care about decorating a tree. That's just me. How many guys do care? Okay. But she loves to decorate the tree. So she's putting all this stuff on that artificial tree, and it looks good. It really looks good. So we purchase those things, and we look at those things, and they're beautiful. They are utterly lifeless. There's no life in them. They're repackaged year after year into boxes, then pulled out each Christmas season, looking just as they looked during the previous Christmas season. Now, this isn't the way it is for us who are in Christ. God doesn't want us to look like Christians, artificial and packaged, but dull in our hearts towards Him. That's not how God wants us to look. He doesn't want us to live brittle and dry lives, as though we've been cut off from the root, cut off from Him as the source of life. That's why we have to maintain our connection to Him, continually drawing our nourishment and life from Him. It's so important that we do that. To the end, God commands us to focus on rooting ourselves deeply in Him so we can be built up in Him. And the thing that we're talking about this morning, people, is it's my choice how much I want to be rooted in Christ. Write this next point down. This can only happen as we regularly commune with the Lord in the Word and in prayer, allowing Him to refresh us continually with the waters of His Spirit that we need to stay alive and vibrant. This is what God is challenging us, people, in this new year. That we would allow God's presence, His Word, to refresh us continually in this new year. I want to read something to you. I read this to Keith, and I wasn't going to do this, but I feel like I need to because I feel like this is going to really encourage you. This is a word in a dream that the Lord gave it's a November newsletter that was done a year ago, but it was brought back up. And she was in Israel when the Lord had given her this. And here's what she said. She said this. Now, this I'm going to read this to you, and this is going to really help you to be encouraged in this new year. It's things that we've been praying about, things we've been believing. She said, as I finally sat down to write, I kept hearing the Lord say over and over for me to reread, review, and repost the word that I put out January to remind you so that you would reconsider it. She said, there was still 2 months left to this year for the Lord to fulfill this word. I tried to write something else, but the Lord won't let me. He told me that it's time for you to watch as he moves on your behalf. And this is what the Lord said to me in a dream on New Year's morning in 2017. The Rees have it. This will be the year of redemption, restoration. And then he added the words realignment, reconstruction, and refinement. The Rees have it. What I mean by the Rees is refinement, reconstruction, all that. Okay. The very next morning, as I was reading a political column, I noticed that it was full of words beginning with the prefix re. There were 34 words in it beginning with re. This was the confirmation I needed in 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the matter be established. The first one that was given was redemption. We're living in a wonderful time of redemption. What may look hopeless and finished, God is going to restore, realign, reconstruct, and refine. You will begin to see marriages, families, relationships, businesses, churches, and horrible messes that looked impossible and hopeless turn around. Zephaniah 3:9 proclaims this. In the end, I will turn things around for the people. Get ready for the God of the turnaround to change your mourning into dancing. And not just dancing, but a whirling dance of ecstatic praise as he wraps you in his glory garments of gladness. Also this year of the hard cases coming into the fold. This is a year of exponential harvest of souls to come into the kingdom. And through the word of your testimony, family members, co-workers, and neighbors will come. They will want to know this God that turns it all around, the God of the turnaround. This will be the year of a whole household salvations, like the Philippian jailer. Family, many families will say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Restoration. That same night I saw dead limbs, dead leaves, garbage being removed. Dead limbs represent a direction that lacks life and motivation. Dead leaves represent something that doesn't bring healing, but results in a very opposite, a place of decay, sickness, and sadness, as well as a new season approaching. New direction and motivation is coming to you. You will begin to move forward as the Father breathes new life into those areas where you have given up. This will be the year of recovery. For I saw the Father standing at the grave of Lazarus, shouting, Lazarus, come forth. It is God's timetable for you to receive those things that were once dead, restored back to life again. Joel 2:25 promises this, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten and stolen. Realignment. That same night, I saw the game of Tetris. For those who have ever played Tetris, it's a video game that played on 10 by 20 grid called a matrix. Tiles fall from the top of the matrix and come to the rest at the bottom. Only one tile falls at a time, and the tiles fall rather slowly, but as the game progresses, they begin to fall faster, faster as you try to solve the problem. Now, I've played that game before, so I know what she's talking about. Many puzzles of the past will be resolved. In my dream, she said, all the pieces fell into place. The Lord said, for many people, life has looked like a complex puzzle. And they have felt like giving up. But God is about to take many of those difficult life puzzles and will fit the pieces back together again. Get ready to see some of the most amazing moves and even chain reactions. Like the game of Tetris, things will start to fall into place rather slowly. Then it'll speed up. Things will begin to come together. More on restoration. God is restoring you by refocusing you. The Father is going to get a hold of you and begin to remove much of your unhealthy thinking, the preoccupation of your mind with things that really don't matter, thought patterns of the heart and mind that once consumed your time and drained the life right out of you will go. God is refocusing you for reformation that is coming into your life. You will capture, like the prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow to the obedience of the anointed one, 2 Corinthians 1:5. Also, the Lord refocuses you and restores the proper vision. You will become more productive than ever. New ideas and revelations will come bringing financial gain, prosperity, and fulfillment. Another one is reconstruction. In the same way, many businesses will begin to give me first place. Business plans that were divested in wrong areas will be rethought and retooled and will be recovered and restored. I saw crutches that have held people back from being removed. For the Lord says it's time to run as you no longer need that crutch. And it's not only time to run, but it's time to spread your wings and fly. I saw many people discover for the first time that they had wings. Not only could they run, but they could soar. Holy Spirit is saying, give me your dreams and I will be the wind under your wings. Let go of the old props and rely on me. Psalms 27 declares, some find their strength in their weapons and wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord our God who makes us strong and gives us victory. Refinement. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. It has been prophesied over and over that this year will be a year of victory. The enemy will try to ambush you, but the circumstances that caught you off guard in the years past will not bring you down. 2 Timothy 1:12, the confidence of our calling enables us to overcome our difficulty without shame. For we have an intimate revelation of God, and our faith in him convinces us that he is more than able to keep all that we've placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. This year, you will walk in the spirit of an overcomer. And the last one, and this will be rejoice. This will be the time of great rejoicing. Get ready to say, look what the Lord has done. It was like a dream come true. Yes, he did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. That's a word that I believe with all my heart is for every person in this place, every Christian. And it is for this new year that we're already in. So, in the midst of the Christmas season, people, it gets so busy. Don't forget the most important thing of all. Taking time to stop and honestly evaluate your walk with the Lord. Ask yourself some questions. What steps am I taking to stay connected to my root source so that I can keep receiving a fresh daily and filling of the Holy Spirit? Let this be a season. Let it be a season that we put our roots deep into Christ and that his presence fills us with everything we need to be refilled and reflourished. There's the reason again. So we can keep growing outward and upward in Christ. Don't be afraid, people, to ask the Holy Spirit to assist you in remaining rooted and built up in Jesus. Sometimes you have to say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Refuse to allow any event in your life to cause you to behave as if you've been cut from the root of the source of Jesus Christ in your life. With our root structure based firmly in Him, we can continually flourish as a growing Christian. This is what this season's all about. It's more than just presents and gifts and things like that, which is great and important. But it's about looking into this new year and saying, Lord, this is new beginnings, a new year that I really need to get myself in you. And I know a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, and they never keep those resolutions. But this resolution here is saying, Lord, this is the year of change in my life. This is the year of change in my family. This is a year of maybe there's some changes in your marriage or something that you need to change up. Lord, this is the year that I need to reestablish, reconstruct, have a fresh vision. Just like that one that I read, and I'll print those off for you, and you can have those next week, that prophetic word. But I believe, people, that this is the season that God is searching for men and women to press into Him like we've never pressed in before. But it's my choice, it's your choice to say, Lord, this is new year for me. Change it up in my heart. Change it up in my life. Let this be established in my own life. And watch what God will do in this new season in your life. God's going to change it up. He's going to change it up. Keith, you have a song. It's all right. Amen. I want us to pray. Let's pray this morning. And I want the Holy Spirit just to give you the strength you need. Some of you have been through some tough, tough times. Some of you need a release. You need a change. You need something to change in your life. Let this be the year of new beginnings. Let this be the year of new beginnings. Let this be your jubilee. Let this be the time when all this thing is changed up. Let this be the year of your breakthrough. Let this be the year as you make decisions to press through and allow God to be God in a greater way. Let's pray. Father, we refuse to be beautiful but lifeless. Father, sometimes we may have a form of godliness, but sometimes we miss the power that comes through your vital connection. Jesus, you're our life source. Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal to us how we can let our roots grow down deeper into you in every way. Help us to remain deeply connected to Jesus by hearing and receiving and loving and obeying his word so that our roots will grow down deep in him. And Father, we thank you as we become more deeply rooted in Jesus. I thank you for helping us to flourish and remain vibrant in every area of our life. And Father, this day I just pray for each and every person in this place that Father, you are our source. You are our reason in this season for everything that we do. And so, Father, I pray your blessing. I speak your blessing, your shalom over this place, over your people. And I pray that the blessings of this new year will increase more and more in the lives of your people. Father, we thank you so much. We bless your name and we worship you. So, Father, as we leave this place today, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and be happy. Let us rejoice in you, the hope of glory. Let us rejoice in you, our healer, our deliverer. Let us rejoice in you as our Savior. Let us rejoice in you as our life source. Father, we thank you so much. We worship you. And we honor you. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise.